Well, we have a special treat today. We've had our RISE conference for our youth and young adults over this past weekend, and we have Pastor Dave Manishin here from Medicine Hat. Dave, along with his wife, Shyla, have been pastoring the Bridge Church in Medicine Hat for 10 years, which is one of our LifeLinks churches. They're doing great things in Medicine Hat. I'm hearing great reports of how they're really impacting their community for the gospel. Dave has a real love for Jesus and a real love for people. And so he asked me, what do you want me to preach when I come to your church? And I said, just give us your life message. And he said, well, if I'm going to give my life message, then you need to put a lazy boy on the stage. So I'm not sure what that's all about. But Dave, we're really excited to have you and Shyla here with us this morning. So why don't you come on up? Let's welcome Dave as he brings the word of God to us.
Thanks, Pastor Joel. Oh man, it's so good to be here. I remember 2016. I don't know, cameras, how far can I'm a bit of a pacer. I hope that's a-okay. That's fine, yeah. So I'm a bit of a pacer, but I remember 2016, I was sitting on a beach in Mexico with my beautiful wife beside me, and we have three children, Javis, Kamea, and Devery, and they're older now, but at that moment, they were just playing on the beach. And I remember I was drinking my non-alcoholic drink on the beach in Mexico, and I just remember thinking, man, this is living. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is what it's all about, right? And then fast forward, 2018, we ended up going back to Mexico, and I remember doing the same thing and just thinking like, this is living. And then 2019, long story, but I went through a bout of depression and just a whole bunch of stuff at church that really messed me up. And our leadership team, our elders, were like, hey, we want to give you a little mini sabbatical. Like, take some time away. And, you know, and then they stood us on the stage and the church donated generously to us personally so that we could take a month off. And I remember being at Disneyland because we had all this money that we needed to spend. So we're like, obviously Disneyland. And I remember thinking the same thing, like this is living. Do you know what I mean? Like that statement that I think honestly every single one of us now, regardless if it's like on holidays or maybe honestly for you, it's like just sitting on your back deck on a nice summer night. Do you know, and you got your Edison bulbs and you got, you know, your little, what are those things? The oil diffuser going and, you know, and you got a pond in the back, little, you know, waterfall, and you can, you know, hear the trickle of that, and you just sit back and have your non-alcoholic drink, and you are also just thinking, this is living. And honestly, I think that every single one of us would be able to maybe identify that statement of like, this is living. And honestly, for some of us, maybe it's a distant memory. Maybe it's kind of like that, like, I remember that, like I just shared. Or maybe it's like something that you get to live. But I guess what I'm trying to say is as we go into this message together, my hope and my prayer is that you would not just want to be able to say that, right? That you wouldn't just be able to say like, man, I want to be able to say this is truly living. Honestly, I want to get you to the point rather than just wanting to have it where you would say, I must have it. See, because there's a big difference between the want mentality and the must mentality, isn't there? Right? Like many of us, if you have children, many of us, if you had a child that was sick and the only medical treatment that you could do was stay down in the States and you needed to raise $100,000, you wouldn't say, well, I want $100,000. You as a parent would be like, I must have 100K so that my child can be okay. And see, honestly, I think for a lot of us, we live in the want mentality, but honestly, I think for some of us, there's that desire that would, you know, kind of like that little nudge within us that would say, no, I don't just want to, I must. See, I remember when we got asked to take over the lead role of our church in Medicine Hat, our pastors, some of you may know them, Richard and Margaret Clock, were the pastors for 3 years. Our former pastors, actually still personally, Shyla and I pastors, Pastor Ian and Val Bird, pastored that church for 10 years as well. And then Richard and Margaret Clock came in, and a year and a half into them being there, they started to ask us, hey, we think you guys should be the lead pastors. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't even want that. I've seen the turmoil. I've seen the hardships. I've seen the struggles. And maybe this is right now a little time out for you to continually pray for your leaders and your pastors. Because I'm going to be real with you, it's hard. And I remember thinking like, there's no way. And I remember actually just as time went on, they had been asking us for a year and a half at that moment. And I just kind of remember moving a little bit to like, actually, I think that'd be kind of neat. It'd be kind of neat to be able to cast vision, and it'd be kind of neat to be able to preach. It'd be kind of, you know, fun to be able to, you know, kind of be the lead visionary, as it were. And it wasn't until we went to a friend's church service in Lethbridge. And I remember at the end of the service, he got up on the stage and he gave the gospel away. And I looked around because I was a pastor. I was like, well, I'm going to sit in the back. I'm going to just observe. And I remember he gave the gospel away, and there was 12 hands that went up in the air. And I remember something happened in me at that moment. See, the something that happened was I switched from, God, I don't want to just be about your kingdom. I have to be. And I remember going out for supper or lunch with the pastors afterwards, and I asked them, you know, maybe you're thinking this right now. I was like, okay, sure, hands went up, but what about discipleship? Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples, not converts. And so I asked him, so what's your process? And he told me this whole process of how the administrator, we don't count hands, we look at connect cards because we can follow up with somebody who's given us their information. And he says, so we gather that information, then my administrator, she'll usually send me an email Sunday afternoon, and I'm not even making this up. As he's saying that, his phone chimed with the very email that he was speaking of. And he shows me 12 names of people that have decided to embark on real life, abundant life relationship with Jesus. And see, it was at that moment that I was like, I have to do this. I must do this. And I remember busting into Pastor Richard's office on that Monday. That was the following, like right then, right there. And I remember busting in and I said, Pastor Richard, you've been asking Shiloh and I to take the lead role. And I got to tell you, I want to do it and I want to start tomorrow. And we didn't start tomorrow, but we had what I actually think is probably the quickest transition in LifeLink's history, because he announced it in mid-May, and we took over in mid-June. And we've been leading the church, and it's been absolutely hard ever since. It's been amazing. But see, this must mentality, I got to tell you, it's not just Dave's opinion, right? Remember when Mary and Joseph, like, lost God? Do you remember that? You know, they were in like Jerusalem, and then all of a sudden they get in the minivan, they start driving back home, and they realize, oh, we lost the Savior of the universe. And what do? They flip the minivan around, they go back and they find their son. And where was he? He was in the temple. And I love this line. This is what Jesus said to his parents. Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? He didn't say, didn't you know that I think it might be a good idea if I do this? He didn't say, didn't you know that I wanted to be here? He said, didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? And so my hope, my prayer for each of us this morning, those of you in here, those of you watching online, is that you would perhaps move from a want-to mentality to a must mentality when it comes to kingdom. Because it'll make a big difference in your life. And more importantly, it'll make a big difference in the lives of those that you have contact and influence with. So let's pray together as we get into this message. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, Father, that you would, God, you would anoint these words. God, I thank you that they are rooted in Scripture, God, and I thank you that as offensive as they may be, Father, that they might step on our toes a little bit, God, to challenge us and to motivate us, Father, to be must-have Christians. So, Holy Spirit, would you inspire us? Holy Spirit, would you challenge us? And most importantly, Holy Spirit, we say, make change in our lives. In your name, amen. Do you guys have the best invention ever in mind? If I was to ask you, what's the best invention ever? I know all you married people would be like, well, obviously the wedding ring, right? As super spiritual people, we'd say the church. Church is the best invention, right? Some might say, well, it's electricity, well, it's the light bulb, it's, you know, Snapchat, whatever you would call the best invention ever. One of my favorite inventions ever is this beautiful thing right here. You guys might know it as the what? As the the broken lazy boy. The lazy boy recliner. I'm a big sports fan. I love football, real football, NFL, right? But see, I told you I was going to step on toes, right? They asked for my hot take yesterday at the Rise conference. They said, what's your controversial hot take? And I said, CFL isn't real football. So anyhow, and you can, I know, I just literally set myself up to like have you not hear anything else that I have to say. Go green. I can say that because I'm an Eagles fan. But the lazy boy, I try to watch football. We have a lazy boy at home, and unfortunately it's not in front of the TV, but I get to sit in it every morning, and I have my coffee and I have my Bible. I mean, I got this place, and I'm just like, man, the lazy boy is literally the most comfortable chair in the world, isn't it? This one, it's not leather, it's church budget, so it's cloth, right? But I mean, lazy boy chairs are just, they're literally built. They got the plush things. They got the thing here, you know, and you can sit down. And then really, if you really want to get comfortable, you can, we didn't even test this out. I hope it works. We got the lever, right, where you can just put your feet up, right? And like these things are built for, did you know that some lazy boys are motorized? You can just hit a button and all of a sudden your feet come out. Or you can hit another button and you can actually have it. They've got coolers built inside these things. You hit another button and up pops your, pop. Right? And you got your pop, and then get this, they're smart enough. Did you know this? This is so crazy. They're smart enough to know that when you set your pop back down on there, they sense the weight. And if there's a little bit more weight than an empty pop can, they lower down into the cooler again so that they stay nice and fresh and cool for you. Right? There's lazy boys that are actually built. You know, this is for like you older folk, right? Where there's like a little table in between and then another lazy boy. So you and your aged spouse, you know, you can take your teeth out, set them on the table, grab your slushy, your meal, like your ground steak or whatever it is, right? And you can just sit there like with your beautiful bride or whoever it is, right? And you can just sit in the beautiful, wonderful comfort of your lazy boy chair. These things, guys, they are built for comfort. And so that's why I think actually in terms of humanity, these are literally one of the best inventions ever, aren't they? Right? Like who's in agreement with me right now? Yes, the lazy boys are awesome. Like, okay, four of you. No, be real, okay? The rest of you are like, you know what that means? That means you don't have one. These things are built purely for comfort. Right? I mean, I comfort for many avenues of life. I mean, I remember actually my wife would nurse each of our children in the lazy boy chair, right? And again, I would do some reading. I would love to be able to, I want them to figure out how we can actually like just have a thing where it just siphons chicken wings. You know, you could just be sitting there eating popcorn, having your soda or whatever, and chicken wings are like chicken me or wing me. That's what we'd say, right? Wing me and just like, you know. But here's the thing, okay? Because I got to be real with you. Is these things are awesome, but the problem is in terms of Christianity, it is actually the natural gravitational pull for each and every one of us as followers of Jesus to live a comfort-focused life. You understand what I'm talking about? I think, honestly, if I was to ask you, who do you think of first? And I know, in the Christian world, we're supposed to say others, but who do you think of first in the sight of danger? Well, every single one of us would say, well, it's got two thumbs and it's wearing a blue shirt. It's me. The natural gravitational pull for each and every one of us is to think of self. And sadly, in Christianity, I think a lot of times the natural gravitational pull is for us to think that Christianity is all about me being comfortable and having my preference come to fruition and my life being about what makes me feel good. And honestly, guys, I know this. I know that we are to live blessed lives. We see that in Scripture. That God, honestly, just the Father of lights has given us everything that we would need. But sadly, I think a lot of times when Christians, especially new Christians, you maybe remember this day when you gave your life to Jesus because of the life-changing power of the Spirit of God in your life. And it jacked you. It invigorated you. It excited you. It literally like lit a fire underneath your feet that you were like, man, this is so amazing that this dude would give his life on a cross for all my sins. I want to do whatever I can actually to make a difference in his kingdom. But then the trickle of comfort, the pull of the chair would pull us in and even actually tainting things that are good and the ways that we should be living has actually turned and morphed, sadly, into making us think that it's all about what makes me feel good. It's all about what I prefer. Even, forgive me, and this is where I'm going to step on toes this morning, but even in terms of the Bible, where instead of looking at this book and thinking it needs to transform me, we look at this book and we say it needs to inform me. And we do whatever we can. Oh man, what is there Bible study on Monday night? Is there Bible study on Tuesday night? Is there Bible study on Thursday night? Because I mean, Wednesday, that's hockey night, right? But is there opportunities for me to do this or to do that, right? To just get into the word, and we turn it into, oh man, I need to know how many kings there were in between Israel and Judah and what the timeline of them were. I need to know actually, you know, like how many friends did Daniel have and what kind of king was King Nebi like? And I need to go through and there's maps, right? Like, and we make it all just simply about, I need the information in this book, as opposed to actually letting it transform us. Because transformation is hard, isn't it? But information, oh, that sounds comfortable. If I could just make it just simply about the informational purposes of the Bible, rather than opening it up and saying, Lord, this right now is time with you. Would you weed away the things that are not of you? Maybe it's not Bible Bob that you've become. Maybe you've become Worship Will. I know for some of you are like, Will, I'm Will. Are you picking on me? No, it's just a random name that starts with W. But we've turned church, we've turned a Christianity into just simply, oh man, I can't wait to get the new Bethel album. I can't wait to get the new Elevation song. I'm going to put it on repeat and it's just going to be amazing. And we put our headphones on, oblivious to what's going on around us, and we make it all just about being in the presence of God. Which, guys, hear me out, it's a good thing, isn't it? But when it's the main thing, see, I think sometimes we're just like, God, I just want to be in your presence. And he's like, yes, but I want you to be my presence. But Lord, this is comfortable for me. When I get into worship, I put up the lever. And I'm just like, I'm lost in your presence. And again, hear my heart. Guys, these are all good things, aren't they? I mean, it's great to get in the word. It's great to worship. It's great to be in his presence. But when we let the preference of our comfort supersede the actual mission of the gospel, I think we're missing it. And hear me out on this one, okay? I really don't want to step on your toes because I know that this church has a global focus. But I think sometimes we get caught up in the comfort of being an overseas mission Mabel. Some of you are like, did Will just become, did he become a she? Just trying to stay relevant. And I know, things got real quiet. But honestly, I look at missions, guys. I mean, I love this in Acts chapter 1. And God will give you his power, right? The Spirit of God will come upon you to be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem, where you're at. And Judea, where you can go. And to the ends of the earth, where the gospel needs to be heard. But see, sometimes we get so wrapped up in thinking, I need a missions trip to be able to be effective for the gospel, because that's my comfort level. I'm not comfortable sharing my faith. I'm not comfortable actually getting up out of my yard and actually interacting and creating conversation with the very neighbor who knows he needs Jesus. Because I'm too wrapped up in thinking, I've got to get out of Dodge. I got to get out of here. I got to get away. I got to get somewhere else than I am right now, because that's what's comfortable for me, because these people know me. If they heard me talk about Jesus, they might think less of me. Guys, you have an opportunity to be missions-minded right where you're at. See, I think sometimes, and this is just my opinion, but I think sometimes we need to be willing to cross a street before an ocean. for the gospel. Maybe you're not Bible Bob, Worship Will, or Missions Mabel. Maybe you're Conference Carrie, where everything is about what's the next conference, what's the next event, what's the next thing. Maybe it's not Conference Carrie. Maybe it's Event Eddie that you are. And you just live for the next thing. Almost, forgive me, I work with the police in Medicine Hat, but forgive me for saying this, but it's almost like a drug addict where it's like, I just need my next fix. And it's like, oh man, I got to go to that conference. Like Brian Dirksen is playing there. I got to make sure I go there. I mean, Stephen Furtick is preaching at this thing. I mean, it's live stream, but it's still, it's going to be great. I need to go to this thing because Dave Wells is doing this. I need to, forgive me, Dave, but I mean, you know, we get this mindset of like, it's all about the event. It's, forgive me for saying this, but sometimes, guys, that's church for us. And it's all about just literally looking at church to validate the life that we have for the rest of the week, rather than taking it with us and allowing it to transform us, allowing it to actually move in us and through us. And see, I don't think, forgive me, I don't think we're called to just simply be Bible Bobs, Worship Wills, Mission Mabels, or even Event Eddies. I think we're called to be uncomfortable Christians for the sake of those who don't know him yet. Why do I say that? It's not my opinion. Jesus said this himself in Matthew 4:19. He said these words. He looked at Matthew, the tax collector. He looked at all the disciples and he said, come, follow me. Walk with me. And if there's anything I think of Jesus, I mean, he was willing to get uncomfortable for us all, wasn't he? I mean, in John chapter 6, Jesus is talking about he's the bread of life. He had just walked on water. He had just fed 5,000 people. And this is what he says himself, of himself. He says, and the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. I don't know about you, but I remember thinking as a little kid in church, and all the talk was like, heaven, it's going to be amazing. The streets are paved with gold. There's no depression. There's no destruction. There's no crying. There's no weeping. There's no hurt. There's no pain. It sounds pretty comfortable, doesn't it? I mean, ultimately, I think a lot of us would say, I cannot wait to get to heaven. But yet Jesus, who was there in the presence of himself and the Father and the Spirit, was in the comfort of heaven at one point. And against even, hear me out, against even what he preferred. We know it's not necessarily what he preferred, because in the Garden of Gethsemane, we find it in Luke, where he said, Father, if you could take this cup from me, take it. But not my will, but your will be done. And in the midst of the comfort of heaven, my Jesus, your Jesus, decided to get up out of that chair and come down and immerse himself in humanity, to become one of us, to allow people to put himself on a cross and beaten and a crown of thorns on his head. Guys, this doesn't sound comfortable. I've never even remotely been close to being crucified. But I couldn't imagine how uncomfortable that would be. But yet Jesus did it for you and he did it for me. And that's why I say, when Jesus says, come follow me, it's not just in the good things. It's not just in the, oh God, thank you for that parking spot. Oh, you're so good, manna from heaven. Lord, thank you for that sale on that sweater. See, if we're going to follow Jesus, then my friends, family, we got to be willing to follow Jesus. And see, the best version of Jesus that I know is the one that got out of that chair so that he could bring comfort to the world. And like him, you are not going to find the best version of yourself inside your comfort zone. I truly believe that. Any parent of a teenager would say, yes, amen. The best version of my son is not the one that sleeps in till 1 p.m. It's not the one that can sit and play Minecraft for hours on end. The best version of my son is sitting front row at church, even though he's heard me preach 1,000 times. The best version of you is one that's willing to get up out of that chair. And hear me, guys, I'm not saying get out of the Bible. I'm not saying don't worship. I'm not saying don't go on mission trips. I'm not saying don't attend conferences. They're all good things. But when it takes precedence over actually getting up and out into the world, we're missing it. Something's awry. Something's off. See, there's no better imagery of this in Scripture that I could find anyways, other than the story. And for those of you who's grown up in church, you would have heard this story probably 100 times. But it's the story of where Jesus, and please hold on this slide, it's the story of where Jesus is in this house. And he begins to teach and actually says in Scripture that he was operating with the gift of healing. So, I mean, you can just imagine, it would have been a wonderful place to be. And it's the story of where, remember, the friends came with their paralytic friend, and they were like busting to try and find a place to get into, and so that they could actually bring their friend who needed Jesus, the one who needed healing, the one who needed forgiveness. And they couldn't get to him because the house was packed. And this is what it says in Luke 5, verse 17. It's this dichotomy between the people who were there and the very ones that needed to see Jesus. This is what it says. It says, some men were carrying a paralyzed man. And then what does it say above that? Go back one slide, please. Verse 17. One day, Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, what were they doing? They were sitting there. They were doing what they were supposed to, weren't they? To receive and hear and learn from Jesus. They were sitting there. It was comfortable. And it was probably actually amazing to be able to hear and see Jesus in action. And then what does it say in verse 18? As a dichotomy, as like kind of the inverse of what we just saw with the Pharisees. It says some men were carrying their paralytic friend. And you know the story, they decided to get a little bit more uncomfortable and climb up on the roof of that house and begin to tear through the thatch and tear through the mud and then maybe look down and see Jesus and think, okay, this is going to take some effort, but I think what we can do is we can actually lower him down with some ropes. Are you feeling strong enough? Do you got it within you to actually go, can we do this? Can we try this? Let's do this. Let's carry. Let's bring. Let's show. The man who needs healing and forgiveness. Let's show him Jesus. And so with all of their effort, they began to lower their friend with the rope. And I don't know what they used. I can just picture it. At the feet of Jesus. And then I love this. This is so profound. Jesus, it says in Scripture, when Jesus saw their faith, not the man's faith, their faith. I love this imagery in The Chosen, if you've ever watched it. Jesus looked up at one of the friends who lowered. And I know this isn't Scripture, but he looked up and he says, your faith is beautiful. Your faith, your willingness to get out of the chair, your willingness to actually bust your butt for the kingdom, your willingness to put in the work, your willingness to believe that if you could get this man at my feet, I would extend forgiveness and bring healing to his life. So my question for you, who do you want to be in that story? Because I honestly think if you love Jesus and you've decided to follow him, I'm pretty sure you're not going to say, Pharisee. I'm pretty sure you're going to say, I want to be one of the ones that carries people to Jesus. And so in the midst of our comfort, in the midst of our comfort, and hear me out, we get so fixated on the word, and it's good. Oh Lord, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Oh Lord, send the workers. Send the workers, Lord. And our head is down, oblivious to the fact maybe that your very neighbor just lost her child to drug overdose. But you're in the comfort of God. Send the workers, Lord. Send the workers. Or maybe you're just so focused on being in his presence. God, your presence is so overwhelming. It's so amazing. And literally the people in your life that need to understand how amazing that very presence is are just passing by. But we're so focused on how it makes us feel. We get so busy with our schedules that, oh man, you need more volunteers in kids' church. You need more volunteers on tech team. Oh, I can't do that at church because that might actually come against my scheduling to be able to go to this and this and this conference. So yeah, I'll attend when I'm there, but don't ask me to help. Don't ask me to serve. Because I'm really comfortable in attending every event that I can so that I can receive and I can receive and I can receive. And meanwhile, God is just like, get up out of your chair and make a difference in the kingdom. Or we're so focused on going and leaving and getting out that literally it's our very neighbors who are in the midst of a messy divorce. And they need, honestly, they just need an ounce of hope. They need an ounce of encouragement. But we're too focused on leaving to recognize the opportunity we have in front of us. See, it's my prayer that you don't want to get out of the chair. It's my prayer that you would be a person that would say, I have to. I must. I must be willing to get uncomfortable for the sake of the gospel. This is how I worded it on this slide, right? It's just simply this. I must be okay with uncomfortable for the sake of the gospel. And I did this, honestly, to sort of dumb it down a bit. But in all honesty, everything within me wants to just to have you say, I must not just be okay with uncomfortable, I must get uncomfortable for the sake of the gospel. Because as wonderful as the church is, it's the only organization in the world that exists for not just the people in it. It exists for your friends. It exists for the person who serves you coffee at your favorite coffee shop. It exists for your neighbors who, again, maybe they're in the midst of a divorce. It exists for the people that have lost loved ones that need hope. It exists for the drug addicts and the homeless that flood the streets of your city. My hope, my prayer, I'm just a pastor from Medicine Hat. But my hope and my prayer is that you would say, I must get uncomfortable for the sake of the gospel. And what's great, I mean, I started this whole message talking about, like, this is living. This idea, like, man, I find so much joy and fulfillment in life right now. But did you know, in Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica, a church that he planted, a church that he actually helped disciple some of the leaders that were in the place. Did you know in his letter in 1 Thessalonians, this is what he says, because he sees their faith, he sees them growing, he sees them thriving, he sees them up out of that chair, making a difference in the lives of those around him. And this is what he says in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 8. He says, for now, we don't just live, we don't just say this is living, for now, think about this, we really live. For now, I'm not just like, oh, this is good. For now, I'm filled with so much joy. I'm filled with so much pride. I'm filled with so much fulfillment, completion within me, seeing you not sit firm in the Lord, but to stand. Why did he say that? Because these were the very people that he was able to actually disciple and release. So my friends, you want to truly say this is living? You want to get to the point of saying, I don't just want that, I must be about that? Here's how. Be an ambassador of Christ. See, sometimes I think in the church we get so fixated on the fact that I'm a citizen of heaven. And it's true, we are. See, the more we camp on that, the more we hold on to our rights, don't we? Because what do citizens have? Rights. But see, in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 20, Paul said this. He says, you are ambassadors. You know what ambassadors have? Responsibilities. See, we saw this during COVID in our city. So many Christians that were holding on to their rights. So many Christians, so many churches that would say, it's our right to do this. You know what our take was? Let's let go of our rights and let's take hold strong of our responsibilities. And so in our little city of 65,000 people, our little church started a ministry called My City Care. And actually, I think it might be coming to Regina. And in the past 4 years, because we've chosen to hold on stronger, more tightly, more firmly to our responsibilities as ambassadors of Christ, we've been able to clothe and feed over 5,500 people. Like, I don't say that as an applause. I say that like to actually implore of you, would you do the same? Because when Jesus said, you are ambassadors, Paul, he followed up with this, as if God himself, the one who spoke the world into being, the one who knit you together in your mother's womb, the one who has plans and a hope and a destiny and a future for each and every one of you, the God of the universe. Get this, in 1 Corinthians 5:20, God is making his appeal through you. And I don't know about you, but the church doesn't need to see a bunch of comfort-focused Christians. Sorry, the world. The world needs to see people who will carry people to Jesus. It's praying as to how to end this, and it's just simply this. If you want in, I think there's an appropriate response, isn't there? Is that you? Do you want to get up out of your seat? Do you want to stand firm for the sake of others. Let me tell you, it's worth it. It's so worth it. When I can look at the people that have come into our church because of our efforts to get out of our church, I look at them and I know their stories. And honestly, I echo the words of Paul. For now, I really live seeing them stand firm in the Lord. So Holy Spirit, God, I pray for each and every one of us in here. God, I pray that you would motivate us. God, I pray that you would challenge us, Father. I pray that you would do something in us, Lord, a deep work. God, that this would not just simply be a message that was cool, but God, that this would be a heart cry of each of us to get up out of our comfort, to get up out of our chair, to get up out of our preference, Lord, for the sake of those who don't know you yet. For the sake of those who need healing, Lord. God, for the sake of those who need redemption, Lord. God, for the sake of those who need but just hope. Bury this in our hearts, Father. Now, before we dismiss, before Pastor Joel comes up, maybe there's some of you in this place. You've never decided to take a step with Jesus. You've never decided to actually allow him in to begin the transformative process in your life. Scripture says, what must we do to be saved? In Romans, Paul's response, well, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And so right now in this place, if you are far from Jesus, if you know that you are far from Jesus, if you know that you've never taken a step to enter into life abundant relationship with him, you've got that belief in your heart. I want to help you with the confess with your mouth. And I'm not going to single you out. I'm not even going to make you pray alone. This is going to be a whole church prayer. So if that's you, if you want to take a step with Jesus, if you're watching online, you want to take a step with Jesus. In your living room, perhaps you're sitting on your lazy boy right now. I want you to just pray this prayer with me. Would you repeat after me? Entire church, let's pray together. Jesus, I want what you want for me today. I choose hope. I choose forgiveness. I choose life and life abundant. I repent of my sins. And I receive your hope. I receive your life. I receive your peace. God, I pray that I would be an uncomfortable Christian. In your name, amen. Church, if you said that prayer, let's give them a big round of applause.
Thanks so much, Dave. That was awesome. Powerful. I'm going to dismiss you, but Andrew's going to play here a little bit, and maybe you're in your seats today and you feel like, you know, before I go home, I just need to go and kneel at the altar and say, Lord, my coming forward is just making an action step to what's in my heart, where I'm making a commitment to get out of that place of comfort. Sometimes I have found for me just moving forward out of my chair and doing something on my knees before the Lord just cements what God's doing in my heart. So you're free to go. You're free to come. Bless you, church.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.